Cameron Esposito, the host of Wham Bam Pow. This is a movie podcast, a show focused on action and sci-fi films. I flipped it this time. I usually say a movie podcast.
I see what
it's a movie show, a podcast.
Put your thing down, flipped
it,
and reversed
it. You're not the boss of me, you guys.
Anybody? You're the boss of
Who's the boss? Tony Danza. That's
Judith Light.
Judith Light is actually the boss. That's true. Actually, that old lady, whatever her name is.
Old lady. Oh, Mona.
Mona.
But
Mona. Nobody knows the actress's name because...
Well...
I believe it's Katherine Hegland, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I think it was Katherine Hegel, actually.
Is it Katherine Hegel?
I think it's Katherine Hegel, you know, from... Okay. Current stuff?
I think it was George Clooney.
George Clooney, will you remake Loving Who's the Wood. Boss already?
Well, hey, I want to welcome these disembodied voices you're hearing right now. The Lady James Dean, Ms. Rhea Butcher. How are you, Rhea?
Hello, I still have my cough, but hey, you know.
Well,
I'm here.
You look great.
Thank you.
You look like a big lung. You know what I mean?
A big pink lung.
Just a big old lung. And also, the Afro spokesman, Mr. Ricky Carmona, is here. Hey, Dean Ricky.
What'd he do?
He did.
I'm living large, in charge.
We were saying before the show that we had listened to last week's episode, and we wanted to send a special shout out to our producer, Lindsay, who edited out all of the coughs, because we kept saying in last week's show, like, that we were super sick, and then I ended up having to, like, go,
leave it in.
We had, like, deep, like I had to, I mean, mine was fleshy.
Guttural.
You know? I had to go get some steroids. And that was just for,
the
that was just to beef up.
Yeah.
That was, but just then I.
Thank you to A-Rod for those steroids.
I had to get the beefing up steroids so I could carry all the NyQuil home. bing bong.
I see.
That's a joke.
I see how
That's
that
how you
works.
Know it's a joke. I said bing bong.
I like that. I love that in your act, by the way, now.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right? It's a decent part of the act.
It's a 2.5 hour set Cameron does. 20 minutes of it is jokes. And
some people
else
think it's like a racist kind of like Asian thing. I'm like, it's not like that at all.
No.
But then the fact that I just said that proves that I am pretty racist.
Well, you are wearing a geisha outfit.
I had to bring it into the booth.
I know. Hey, we are going to be back right after this for news and reviews. Stuff you can use. So today on the show, we're going to do a review of Cherry 2000. That is 1987's massive hit you probably have never heard of. We will do that at the end of the show. Before that, we're going to start with some news. We're going to play a little game after that. Oh, boy. Movie news. Guys, there's a theme to this week's movie news.
Oh, my goodness.
And that is 2014 sequel preview.
That's some stuff I can use.
I brought in a preview of some of the sequels that we all have to look forward to this year. Now, what I want from you, Ricky and Rhea, are some thoughts on the different movies I'm going to bring up. So let's start with April. In April, we will see Captain America Winter Soldier. Now, this is from directors Anthony and Joe Russo, who also did Yumi and Dupree, have directed a bunch of Community episodes, and also directed episodes on the original Arrested Development. Mm. I'm very curious as to comedy directors, who I believe are also brothers, since they have the same last name.
Mm-hmm.
Very interested in them being brought into the old Captain America franchise. What did you guys think of the first film? Did you both see it?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I can't answer for Ricky, but no. I saw it.
Please speak for me for the rest of the
Ricky
show.
Ricky and I saw it. I did see it, and you know what? I liked it. I didn't think it was like the best thing, but I liked it a lot better than Thor.
Red Skull wasn't bad. Am I right?
I mean, I'm a sucker for anything like World War II era themed, and I thought it was pretty interesting, the transformation into Captain America.
You know, that's funny because when I saw that movie, that is actually what I thought. For some reason, that movie for me was where I realized that like Nazis are in every origin story. It was Captain America seeing that movie where I was like, oh, well, it's always Nazis.
It's
always Nazis.
I mean, basically all comic books started in that decade anyway.
Yeah.
And like eventually they're going to fight them. But I liked it. And I mean, I watched the trailer. The thing that stuck out to me was that elevator fight that's in the trailer.
I haven't seen the trailer yet.
Which looks pretty... I don't know what it's going to be like to see... But maybe this is why comedy directors would be good for this, because it's going to essentially be this, like, fish-out-of-water story. I'm not sure of the timeline if this is after Avengers. I'm assuming that's after Avengers. So he's going to be somewhat comfortable because he's been hanging out in New York City fighting those weird gremlins. I don't remember what
they're called. Well, I still hope that he wears lots of, like, khakis and then a tucked in white tee.
And then a tucked
in
yeah,
with a bomber jacket.
I love
solid,
that on the old
look.
Cap.
Come on,
solid
Captain.
Look.
How'd you like it, Ricky?
The first Captain America, I had the same reaction to it that I had with The Rocketeer. And it's the director of the same, but he directed both of the movies. He directed The Rocketeer and he directed Captain America, Joe Johnston. He movie looked great, looked like it took place exactly in that era, but I was pretty much bored by the story.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I loved The Rocketeer in my childhood.
Absolutely, yeah.
I didn't realize that was him. That's so funny. Also, because they're wearing the same outfit, pretty much.
Yeah, totally.
Like, they were like, man, I'm pretty sure just use The Rocketeer's outfit. Is that still stuff still available?
Is Billy What's-His-Name still around? Put him in it. Jennifer Connelly, she's what, 40?
Brendan Fraser. That's who's
what?
That?
No.
No, it's
Brendan
Fraser
is
Billy
not
Campbell.
Billy Campbell.
I
what?
Dropping
You're
names
right.
today.
Hey,
dang
bam.
It, Ricky. I had half of it.
You
please.
Did. You did.
Okay.
You did.
Well,
you did.
Both of you are wrong. It's definitely Brendan Fraser.
He was 10 when that movie.
No,
came.
No. It's
that's
remember.
Not true.
No. Do you remember the movie The Rocketeer? It's about a mummy.
You're thinking about.
Yeah, it's about.
They go to the center of the earth. And then under there is a 40s house where they have to get trapped.
Yeah, and then they go
to
an
devil
all boys
comes,
whoa.
And it's that
school.
Woman who used to date Hugh, whatever his name
Hugh
is.
Hugh Grant, the president of Britain.
Andy
Love
McDowell?
Actually.
Thank you so much, Ricky. He was with me the whole way.
I was out
they
following.
Have to get ties. They have to go to school.
Absolutely.
All right. I think we've named a lot of Brendan Fraser's best hits.
Best hits.
Now,
then he's going to go back to the 60s.
I love The Rocketeer.
Shout out to Monkey Bone.
Shout out to Monkey Bone. I really want to be The Rocketeer. He is pretty sexy.
Great
it's
costume.
It's a great costume.
Great costume.
He is a great costume.
Great costume.
Also, we, because Rhea and I are often at the UCB Theater here in Los Angeles on Tuesday nights to run a show called Put Your Hands Together that we do that's a stand-up show there. And Captain America was on the show before us not too long ago.
Oh, is that right?
And so we got to see him. And the only reason I bring this up is because, like, he's in great shape. He is small. I mean, he's like a
even though he looks
normal,
huge. He looks huge.
I mean,
in
he's, like, in great shape, but
height.
He's just not.
Oh, he's
compact.
I mean, and I wouldn't say he's, like, a super short dude, but, like, you just expect. I mean, of all of them.
Yeah.
Don't you think Captain America's the one that you expect to just be. Just
big,
enormous,
absolutely,
right? He's
absolutely.
Just, an,
I guarantee you,
he and
all
Thor
of those dudes
I would say
are as
Hulk,
big as a thimble.
Yeah. Thor, what did you say? As big as a thimble?
All of those guys in the Avengers are all as big as a thimble, and then Scarlett Johansson is just towering over him.
No, I mean, he's not like, again, he's not a teeny guy, but it's just like, when you see him in real life and you realize he's the normal size of a person, that is, it's disarming. So that's actually, I think, one of his best skills, Captain America.
Wearing the tucked in white tee?
No, just like being a normal sized person, and then you just drop all your weapons. I give up! All right, so that's in April.
I want to see Captain America, the Winter
You'll
Soldier.
Go see it.
I'll
go see it.
I'll go see it.
Okay.
For sure.
I don't know if people want to see Captain America Buffalo Soldier as well.
Captain America Tinker Soldier Sailor Spy?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Thank you. I'm going to tweet that Thank later. You. I think that'll do. Do well.
I think you guys should have a tweet off.
Whoa.
Tweet both of those. We'll see how it goes. All right, May, we've got X-Men Days of Future Past coming out. Now, here's what I think is one of the biggest stories about this movie. Jennifer Lawrence is in this movie. She was in the X-Men First Class movie. The reason I'm saying that I'm bringing that up is because it's just an interesting marker for where her career was when First Class came out to where her career is now. When First Class came out, she was pretty much an unknown in that film. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think she'd been in
Winter's Bone
right before that, but that was an independent film. Or
and
like
that's
a
kind
much
of what garnered her, like, her acting buzz.
Yeah.
Was Winter's Bone.
Winter's Bone.
Yes. But then she was in Days of Futures Past, and she's also wearing a lot of makeup. I don't think that, I mean, I remember not knowing who she was, and she was very, you know, low build. It's been really interesting to see this movie because she's had so many huge hits, and then right now she is in, you know, two of the biggest movies that are out. And it'll be really interesting to see if she can bring people into the theater. I'm just curious as to whether people will go see X-Men to see Jennifer Lawrence.
X-Men, Jennifer Lawrence.
In X-Men. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely. I think there will be. There's so many characters in that movie that I don't think she's the deciding factor. But, I mean, you guys saw that story that came out that Hunger Games was the biggest movie of 2013. And it's the first time in 40 years that a woman has a movie that's the number one movie of the year.
Where she's helmed it.
Yeah.
So what was the movie 40 years ago? Just to...
I think it might be Alien?
I don't know. With a woman. I see what your question is. I'm sorry.
In 40 years.
I think it was Alien.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We'll check that, but I think it was Alien, because I did read that as well. So yeah, it's a huge deal for her right now to be in anything, is I guess my point. Like, just, they didn't realize what they were getting into when they, or maybe they did, those sly, sly foxes.
Sign those multi-picture deals, Hollywood stars, that's what we're saying.
But Bryan Singer is also the director of X-Men Days of Future Past. Here's why I bring this up. His last film, Jack the Giant Slayer. So that was one of the biggest flops of 2013. To follow this up in 2014 with this movie, I mean, best of luck, Bry. Get out there, my friend. Hope you can do it. Because he's got some stink on him right now.
If we are honest with Bryan Singer, it has been a minute since he's made a good movie. Before he made Jack and the Giants.
X-Men 2, right?
That was a while ago. I mean, Superman Returns, I used to be an apologist for it. That's not a good movie.
No, it's not a good movie.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys are interested in seeing X-Men Days of Our Lives as well.
I want to see X-Men of Steel.
I want to see X-Men Days of Back to the Future.
There it is.
That's not fair that you got that one.
You're welcome. All right, I want to talk about three more, so let's let's keep plowing. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes comes out in May. Here's why I want to talk about this. Andy Serkis is back for this film. Now, I don't know if you... The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, which is what this is a sequel to, the rebooted Rise of the Planet of the Apes, not the Marky Mark Planet of the Apes, but the Andy Serkis Planet of the Apes. So that's Andy Serkis is doing motion capture. He's Gollum. You'd know him from Lord of the Rings. But in the most recent Rise of the Planet of the Apes, for the first time, he did motion capture live with the other actors in the scenes with the actors so that he wasn't in front of a green screen, and then they replaced him with the ape in that movie. And that was a huge deal for me just watching that, because I thought he did an amazing job, and it was really cool being able to watch somebody actually act with the person that's supposed to be there, as opposed to how we usually see movies where it's like composite together, and that's still impressive.
With a little tennis ball?
Yeah, I can't believe he's directing it to that tennis ball. But it's amazing also to think about that we've gotten to that point. So it's really cool.
For sure.
Now, of course, Rise of the Planet of the Apes was also awful. That was a terrible, very bad movie. I blame James Franco and the script. Here's the good news. This movie is directed by Matt Reeves, who directed Cloverfield, but also Let Me In, which I didn't see. I'm too scared to see that movie, but I heard it was very good.
Let Me In he clearly didn't direct Let the Right One In, right?
Well, Let Me In is the American adaptation version. of Let the Right One In.
That's my only reaction to it.
Well, whatever. I mean, at least we're making that
purist.
Movie.
I'm a purist.
You haven't seen either of them.
I've seen Let the Right One In.
Have you?
Absolutely. Oh. It's great.
Americanize
it.
Let Me In is good.
All right,
It's
Let me.
I'm not crazy.
Let me in on this.
Let me in.
The conversation about Leather Man. Yeah.
It's also a great De La Soul song.
This movie is written by the dude who wrote The Wolverine and Total Recall and Unstoppable.
Right. Oh, boy.
So maybe it could go either way. But also involved in the writing, Scott Burns, who wrote Side Effects. There's like a bunch of different writers. So we're going to watch Side Effects for next week for this show. And also involved in the writing is the dude who wrote the original, The Rise of the Planet of the Apes, that this is a sequel to. So, guys, we're all over the map. This could be a big shit show. I really hope it's not, because I want to be invested in this.
I think that it is an interesting moment in time of that series. Because I didn't see Rise of the Planet of the Apes, but I am guessing what happens. I didn't see the whole thing.
They rise.
They rise up.
That's right.
To the Planet of the Apes. I just made that up.
That was great.
I don't know what happened.
You got the spirit, girl.
I've seen him like holding that stick with like face paint, and it's an interesting moment of evolution in the storyline. So that is intriguing to me. All the information that you just gave me is not intriguing to me, like at all, except for Side Effects.
I enjoyed Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I'm sorry, Kim. I liked it a lot, and I liked it so much that this one, I saw the trailer. I'm in. Gary Oldman's your bad guy? I'm in. Where do I show up?
He's everybody's bad guy.
He's everybody's bad guy.
He's the bad guy in my dreams.
He's everybody's old man, you know?
All right, we're going to... to finish it off, to cap it off, what do we have coming out in June? In June, we've got two. We've got two to discuss, and then we'll move on from news. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 comes out in June. Now, here's some things to think about from this. Jamie Foxx is the bad guy in this movie. Now, this is Jamie's really first big film since Django. I mean, he was in White House Down, and that massively underperformed. I don't even think it really got the release that he should deserve at this point. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit embarrassing for him that he was even in that. I do think it's a little bit strange after Django to sign on to a Spider-Man franchise for him. Hey, I'm sure the dollars were talking.
Yeah.
But I don't really get that move.
Franchises are the move now.
That first one, I really liked that first one, The Amazing Spider-Man.
Did you?
I liked it a lot. I've watched it more than once.
Well, it is that movie is the fourth in terms of performance, how they did box office-wise, that all three of the Tobey Maguire movies beat the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man.
Andrew Garfield was going up against a country grieving 9/11 and Spider-Man just happening to come out at that time. So, like...
Wait, what? This Spider-Man is not that old. His is from, like, 2007.
Whose? Tobey Maguire's or Andrew Garfield's?
What are you saying?
Are you saying that Andrew Garfield's
you're saying Tobey
is
Maguire's?
Fourth as compared to Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man's? Is that what you're saying to me right now?
All of the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man's did better. Financially better. Every single one of them.
Exactly.
On your worst day, Tobey Maguire is kicking your ass.
No, that's
your worst day, Tobey Maguire's
what I'm saying is that stupid, and they say that a hero can save us, that whole thing, it was right after 9/11. They had to digitally remove the World Trade Center out
so
of the trailer.
So you think that Spider-Man did so well because the entire country was behind Spider-Man because Spider-Man was the opposite of 9/11?
Absolutely.
Rhea, you are an amazing film historian, and I don't disagree with you.
I absolutely think that's true. I also think that it, on top of that, secondary to post-9/11, it was the first, like, seriously thought out, well done superhero movie that we'd had in a long
time.
It was.
Since
the X-Men franchise.
Yeah.
And that's an ensemble cast.
Right.
So.
I mean, Andrew Garfield did get yesterday's lasagna. To make a Garfield reference.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Wow.
We record on a Monday and Garfield hates Mondays.
Finally, out in June, Transformers 4 Age of Extinction. Now, you might say, to me, Cameron, why are you even bringing this up? As thinking people have abandoned the Transformers franchise long ago. But to that I say, nuh-uh. These movies have grown worldwide with each release. In fact, Transformers 3 made over worldwide, are you guys ready for this? $1 billion.
You're kidding me.
That movie made over $1 billion. And this new movie, well, first of all,
Age of Extinction?
Who cares?
What the hell? Why would you name your movie that?
Do you think they can improve on $1 billion? That's my first question. Number two, do you think that the franchise is going to survive Shia LaBeouf's departure? Because he is not in this one. Of course, as we know, he's also retired from public life.
Right. Mm. He's gone back to his hole.
Good hole.
Sorry, guys.
This new movie is a Mark Wahlberg vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
It is.
Mark Wahlberg is picking up the pieces after...
Well, you're behind Jamie Foxx.
What's
picking
happened
up the pieces? You should give a little...
He's not picking up any pieces. He's stepping into a role.
Oh, please. You
it's
know
not
who
a
else
pre...
is in
okay.
Transformers, and this is the final thing I will leave you with, our friend T.J. Miller.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Oh, my.
Friend of ourselves personally has a large role in this film.
That's awesome. For
yep.
And he's a comic that we've known for years and been doing shows with for years. And so, listen.
Oh, and someone that Ricky and I were just recently on International Waters, and our opponent from the U.K., he also has a part
in
this
right.
Transformers.
Wow.
That's
which
right.
he was not allowed to talk about.
Wow.
He did say that he did not transform.
He does not transform in
well,
this movie.
Well, that's it.
I am also very excited to see Transformers Age of Aquarius. Thank you, that's three!
I all love right. that New Order song, Transformers Age of Consent.
Oh, damn it! I want to change my answer.
We will be back with more after this.
Hey guys, this is Kimberly Clark, and you need to just calm your little self down and get under the goose down with me and Jasper Red. You can catch us on MaximumFun.org, or you can hear us on iTunes. And no farting under the covers either.
And Lindsay in the booth has given us a correction. Thank God, because I don't want to deal with your Twitter. I don't want to deal with your chitter. No, I don't want to deal with your tweets telling me that I was wrong. It wasn't alien. That was in my dreams. In my dreams, Alien is the most...
In your heart.
In my heart, Alien has performed better than any movie ever.
It made $1 billion.
It made $1 billion.
What won the Golden Globes yesterday?
Alien.
Yeah, it did.
Alien won a Golden Globe. Sigourney Weaver was called at home. They said, we give you this. No, it was The Exorcist that was the last... Which is also funny. That's the last movie helmed by a woman who also happens to be
possessed.
A child.
Also possessed by a demon.
Yeah, yeah. Also a baby.
Yeah. Like, are they considering Linda Blair the star of that? Is it Linda Blair?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that has to be. No, who else could be the star?
The mom, Ellen Burstyn.
I think, I think the pea soup.
She's a big star.
I think it's Linda Blair's vagina that's the star of that.
Good Lord.
That possessed cooch. Just, I just wanted to say possessed cooch.
Yes.
That's Transformers 5. Possessed cooch. Possessed cooch.
I used to have a possessed cooch.
Oh, Rosie O'Donnell.
It was, it wouldn't, yes. Rosie O'Donnell's right. Where's Tom Cruise?
Tommy, can you hear me?
Now. We're doing Chings a little bit different
today.
Yeah, we are. My diction is amazing.
On point.
I feel like there's one person that rant that we just went on is going to, like, they're going to love every single reference that we just made.
Oh, more than one person. With our listenership.
I can't wait to find out who those people are.
At least 1 billion people.
1 billion people.
Billion.
Yeah, internationally, if you count international. Now, what do I want to discuss? I'll tell you. Every week, not every week, for many years. Not for many years. For as long as this show has begun.
Centuries ago.
Centuries ago. A long, long time ago.
From a long, long ago.
We started this show, and I often make you guys pitch it to me. And I decide, as the most important person in this room, which of your films is funded. Now, though I am still irrefutably the most important person in this room, nay, this building, today I have decided to lower myself to your level.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And that is because I had a very exciting idea. Now, Gravity. Alfonso Cuarón won for Best Director for Gravity, a Golden Globe, just last night.
Ah, Golden Globe.
A Golden Globe. And I was very happy about that. And I was also thinking, what is something we haven't done yet in this podcast? And this is it. Pitched a sequel to a movie that you guys didn't want there to be a sequel to.
Nope.
I am sure in your hearts of hearts that you cannot even imagine how Gravity could be improved. I'm sure you, Ricky and Rhea, have thought to yourselves, thank God nobody is making a sequel to this. Thank God Hollywood is only making sequels to terrible things, like Transforming movies. Well, not anymore.
Transformingtons.
Because you guys are in for a treat. I have discovered in my research that I wrote myself the plot to Gravity 2, which I would like to pitch to you now. Now, I want to warn you guys, if you haven't seen the original film, Gravity, there'll be some spoilers in this next bit, so you should either mute it, or you should turn it off, or you should suck it up and just listen to these spoilers, because why the fuck haven't you seen Gravity?
Go see Gravity!
I was just going to say that was a really sweet spoiler alert, yeah. But then you got a little aggressive at the end.
Okay, so the original tagline for Gravity is, don't let go. Now, for Gravity 2, or as I call G2.
Ooh.
This tagline is going to be, hold on for one more day. So actually, it might even read with a colon. G2, hold on for one more day.
I love your inflection on that.
Yeah. Now, the director, still Alfonso Cuarón. He did a great job with it. Let's keep him in the loop. However, at the end of this film, at the end of Gravity, Sandra Bullock splashes down in Earth. Now, if you know anything about film, you know that the lake that she splashed down in is the exact same lake that was used to splash down in Planet of the Apes. What if she didn't splash down in Earth? Now, in Planet of the Apes, they splash down. They think they're not on Earth. They are. In this case, she thinks she's on Earth. She's not. Why? What happened? I'll tell you. She died. She died up there in that psoas or whatever the fuck she was sitting in. She ran out of oxygen. But when you die, you don't go to heaven. You go to an alternative dimension. You go to another universe. This is using the multiverse string theory that I believe we all know from physics.
And Looper.
And Looper. Well, what kind of other universe do you go to, Cameron? Well, I'll tell you. You just go to another universe where you get to complete the things you didn't do here. What age are you when you get there? Your whatever age would be the most important for you to be. So here's why I say that. Because time is different in this place.
Wow.
And why is it important that time is different? Because who else is in this other alternative dimension that's also a place you go after death? That's right, her daughter, who's played by Noomi Rapace.
Okay. All right.
From
okay.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the original one, Rhea, for you purists. Now, they look a lot alike, and you might even think, oh, they're a similar age. Well, that's why time is different, and her daughter needs to be the age that she is. She's an adult.
Okay.
Still, Sandra Bullock is the same age she is now, which is ageless. Noomi Rapace has taken on the task of doing the exact same mission that her mom was supposed to complete. Her current mom in this universe. But then her other alternative universe, dead mom, comes. She has to go fix Noomi Rapace's situation in the stars, try to figure out how to save it.
So you're telling me she has to replace something for Noomi Rapace?
She's got to replace the Rapace.
Okay.
And they can... Now, here's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, please.
You can only move on to the next universe if you complete your task at hand. But she never had any time with her daughter. So if she doesn't complete the task, does she get to repeat this universe? Because then they'll both die. She already knows if you don't complete your task, you repeat the universe. Does that happen in this universe too? So that's the question that she has to try and answer. Is she going to kill her and her daughter, or does she save the day, and therefore she and her daughter have to stop living together because they go on to the next universe? This is a great movie.
It sounds...
I have a question here. There's a lot happening in this movie.
Yes.
So let's go ahead and jump into the promotional tie-ins that will be happening with this movie. Will there be Tylenol sold at the counters for the headache that this movie
You mean because
is
of how stressful
you?
It is?
My head
To
hurts.
Try and understand it?
Yes.
No. There won't be Tylenol.
Okay.
Either you have a degree and you understand what the fuck I'm talking about.
Okay.
Or you should take online classes sponsored by this movie.
Mm. Will this disclaimer play before the movie?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
You have to walk through DeVry on your way into the movie theater.
It'll say beforehand, do you know what I'm talking about in advance? If you don't,
I think actually,
go home.
You know what? I think before you even get to that title card that's saying you're an idiot, I think you should have to play that little peg game that's the triangle that you play when you're waiting for a table
like
at Cracker Barrel. Yes.
I just. You killed me.
Yeah, okay. You have to play that
My
before
grandfather
you go to...
loved that game. Yeah. So he is,
you would love
he
this
has
movie.
Also passed on. So that's a great tie-in because what if he's in this alternate universe?
Yeah.
I have another promotional tie-in question as well with the Advil, I mean, with the Tylenol. Now, tell me again the tagline to this movie, please.
Hold on for one more day.
Now, will we have Wilson Phillips get back together to sing? Hold on for one more day.
Yes, but here's what it'll be.
Okay.
It'll be Wilson the Volleyball and the movie Captain Phillips.
Whoa!
Little Tam Hanks.
Well.
Yes.
Little Tam Hanks.
Tam Hanks. Yes, indeed.
Topical reference.
Thank you.
Good Golden Globes callback to
I
something.
I also think maybe the end of the film should be Rita Wilson, and then... I don't know, Mary Poppins singing Release Me by Wilson Phillips.
Okay, whoa. That's not bad. Now, here's the other thing. Obviously, Noomi Rapace is gay in this movie.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Clearly.
She's not really with anybody.
Okay.
It's not really relevant to the movie, but I just wanted you to know that.
Okay.
Well, okay.
Because the whole reason I haven't been able to watch The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, I haven't seen any of them, is because I know that her character's not gay, and that's a really big letdown.
Ah.
Okay.
Just based on her mohawk and stuff.
I understand.
I see it. Okay, valid.
Like, when I look at the poster, I just am super bummed.
Will there be any connection between her character, Noomi Rapace's character, and Prometheus?
See? That's the thing. You don't know.
Okay.
But there will be like a Waylon Yutani or whatever the fuck that's called.
Waylon Yutani.
Waylon Jennings.
Waylon Jennings. No, there's going to be like a couple Easter eggs.
Okay.
One will be an Easter egg.
Okay. This movie was released during Easter, I'm assuming.
It's an Easter themed movie.
Of course it is.
So it's just, you know how things float in space?
Of course I do.
So it's just
asking me these questions.
Imagine like an Easter egg.
Okay.
But floating.
But in
floating
space.
By you
yeah.
In space.
Mm. That's what it is. And then, so that's kind of a part of it.
Hmm. Wow. Well.
Now, I mean, I guess my point is.
Yeah.
You guys came in here and you thought to yourselves, I really liked that movie. That was probably one of my favorite movies of the year. And then you probably thought, I don't really want to see another film in that sequence. But boy, didn't I prove you wrong.
Yeah, you absolutely did.
And I also forgot to thank you for having us come to your office for your pitch.
Yeah.
Where we have absolutely no power whether this is greenlit, but...
Yeah,
I was glad to
hear it. Oh, no, did you not hear that? You have power.
Oh, I do?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, well, on your way in, you got power.
Oh, cool. I didn't realize that. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Well, I think this should be...
So you can make this movie or not.
I'm into it. I think it should be made. I also want... I mean, I just feel like this movie is rife with promotional tie-ins. We could have Krayapos, Gravity 2 themed...
Easter egg die.
Easter egg die. You know, and then little, you know, the little dippers can be also monocles that they were in the movie.
Yeah, you're right. That makes
a
lot of
sense.
Do that plus, the Big Dipper is a constellation.
Look at that.
Yeah.
For fear of losing my job, I'm going to go ahead and say yes.
Wait a minute. Are you both just being yes men?
No, I'm
no,
not being.
I no, no.
Tell me whether or not you believe in this film. I think I've thought out every nook and cranny.
You have thought out.
Oh, you've definitely thought out every nook and cranny.
That chart that you have behind you is just, oh, there are a lot of arrows.
It is extensive.
Pointing everywhere.
Don't you think that what I've brought up here about life and the possibility of what death is is really revelatory slash religious.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, I didn't expect it to go this way. I didn't expect you guys to be speechless completely.
I'm speechless. I'm gonna need to look at your research. That bag that just says research written on it in crayon.
Yeah,
take a look at that.
Well, I wrote a lot of
notes.
That.
There is it. It is spilling over.
Mm-hmm. I went for a walk. Hand me that TI-83 that's over there.
Yeah, well, I grabbed this. Yeah, the x-axis is Noomi, and then the y-axis is Sandra Bullock.
Yep.
And then where they intersect is their genetic shared gene pool.
Sure.
No George Clooney in this movie.
He's around, but not super relevant.
Still just kind of floating by?
Yeah,
floating
he's around. Like, gotcha. He's, okay. I mean, he's just doing whatever he's, like making other movies.
Okay.
That's the thing.
Gotcha.
Mm. It's a little bit of like a meta commentary on his participation in the first one.
Mm.
All right, well, so we've agreed that this will be a big hit.
Huge.
Yeah, people will really get on board.
And we'll be back with a review of Cherry 2000 after this. This week, Wham Bam Pow is supported by Warby Parker, a new concept in eyewear. Hey, if you're like me, you wear glasses. And if you're like me, you are broke. So hey, why don't you go over to Warby Parker and check out some fashion-forward prescription glasses starting at only $95, including lenses. What? That doesn't make sense. I mean it. Warby Parker makes buying glasses online easy and risk-free with an home try-on program. Yeah, you can order 5 pairs of glasses, and they'll ship them to your home, and you can try them on. You can put your frames you like on your face, and then you can send the other ones back free with no obligation. How could that possibly be true? It's like eye doctors in your house. Well, not the doctor, but the other guy who makes the glasses fit on your face. What's that called? A glasses place.
Ophthalmologist?
Yep, that's what it's called. Go to warbyparker.com/whambam, and you'll get free 3-day shipping. That's warbyparker.com/whambam. See you in glasses! And welcome back! During the break, both Ricky and Rhea hoisted me up on their shoulders. They couldn't believe how smart I am.
Genius.
What a great movie.
they really love that movie. Mm. And I know that they're being honest because of the flat affect that they're speaking with. Now, for today's movie show,
mm-hmm.
we reviewed Cherry 2000, which is available currently on Netflix. Watch instant. Or you might have seen it in 1987 when it first came out. Boy, if you haven't seen this movie, run over to Netflix and cancel your subscription. Don't worry about it. We're going to really do it justice today. It was fun to watch, but you don't need to worry about it. Hey, spoilers are going to happen.
There's the spoiler that happens in this movie is you watching this movie. Your yeah. brain gets spoiled.
Yep. Your food's going to spoil because you're going to turn off your own electricity and move out of your apartment.
This movie you have to search for on Netflix. You will not just find it.
Cherry.
It's one of those.
Cherry 2000 took me 8,472 minutes to watch because I kept stopping it. Like, what am I doing to
you know,
myself right
this
now?
This movie was recommended to us by our good friend, Mr. Kurt Bronner.
Former good friend.
By our no. former good friend, good friend. Mr. Kurt Bronner, who's a great comic, also has some excellent podcasts. Also, iffy taste in movies.
Shady.
Iffy.
Now, Cherry 2000 was directed by Steve DeJarnett. What else has he done? Not much. He directed some of Lizzie McGuire.
Did he really?
Yeah, which
That's
is amazing.
Great.
Wow. Also, this movie stars Melanie Griffith and David Andrews and Tim Thomerson. I'm not kidding. That's that guy's
the best
name.
Part.
Also, that guy, Tim Thomerson, who plays like the bad guy in this movie, the main bad guy, he was a stand-up and he made it all the way to Carson. Like he was on Carson doing stand-up.
Is that right?
And then this is what happened to him. Whoopsie daisy.
Not everybody that was on Carson.
Don't work for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, and his name was Ellen DeGeneres. No. What happened to Melanie Griffith?
Well,
that made her agree to make this movie. Does anyone know?
There's like a 30-minute chunk in this movie where she disappears. I think her wranglers or her agents were like, "Yeah, you need to get the fuck out of this movie. What are you doing? It's on the contract already."
Oh,
yeah,
boy.
I don't know what. Is this pre-Working Girl, post-Working
oh,
Girl? Where
I didn't even
is
look
she?
That up.
We
I'm
had
silly
this conversation.
Where is she at?
I feel like it is pre, but it can't, Working Girl had to be.
Yeah, I feel like
she's
be,
not that young. She's young, and she looks great, but she's not like that, like she's not 19.
Maybe.
I don't know.
This was like an inner circle kind of a movie. If this guy made some Lizzie McGuire's, then maybe he knew somebody, and then somebody knew Melanie Griffith, and she was like, sure, whatever, nobody's ever going to see this.
Yeah.
Favors
well,
were done.
Yeah.
Favors had
honest,
to have been done.
I mean, this movie is insane.
But I feel like maybe at the time people did, I feel like this probably got a regular release. I don't think this was buried when it came out. Do you think?
I remember.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I do.
I think, I remember as a kid, I just remember seeing the poster at my local video store.
So there you go.
I don't remember seeing it, but I don't remember seeing like,
but that's like
a
video.
Trailer
well, they at least made a poster.
Yeah,
I think that's where 80% of this budget
okay,
went
got it.
To the poster.
So let's just do a quick synopsis of the film. Now, in 2017,
it's coming right up.
Yep. A dude travels through a post-apocalyptic wasteland called Los Angeles and the outside of it mm-hmm. to find a newer model of a sex robot he loves. He had the sex robot
oh,
he was
hey.
Married to.
Okay.
And he loved her. And then she fell in some water because they were having sex in water. And he didn't realize his robot wasn't waterproof, which I feel like really spoke a lot to the future of iPhone technology.
Yeah, that's
you know?
True.
Because, I mean, a couple times I've been having sex with my iPhone in water and I realized.
Still works?
And I mean, like, I was actually having, like, physical sex. I don't mean like I was watching porn. I mean
no,
physical
oh,
sex.
Oh, I heard you.
Yeah.
Oh, we got it.
Now, Melanie Griffith is his guide in this wasteland to find this sex robot. This movie, it feels like 800 other movies were compiled into one movie where the premise itself is like supposed to be farce, but is not farce enough. Like, it's supposed to be silly that he's in love with this sex robot. People make fun of him for it, but the tone of it is so quasi-serious. Like, the dude who plays the husband of the sex robot, who, by the way, is also in Terminator 3, plays the general in that film.
Yes, he does. That's who you are, dude.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. he is like really in love with her. Like he's playing it very.
Plays it straight.
He plays it
not
real straight.
Weird. Yep. Yeah. This movie to me felt like somebody dropped acid and watched Blue Velvet, a John Waters movie, Brazil, and Blade Runner all at the same time.
Yeah.
And you're like, I've got it. And maybe a couple episodes of Small Wonder.
It does feel like some pages to the Blade Runner script fell out on the floor and they just shuffled them into a new thing and delivered it to this. Now, let's just do some bets and words. Let's just get right to it. Rhea, what is the worst part of this movie?
I think the worst part of this movie, I hate to go with something so simple, but it really is the plot. Because it just, there were a lot of times where I was like, why are they even going anywhere now? Like, they just kept going places, and it didn't make any actual sense that they were like, oh, now we're in a car, now we're in a helicopter, now we're on a plane, now we're on a thing. Like, that was their plot device, was to just make them go somewhere. And, like, they could have cut the locations down at least in half, and it maybe would have made a slightly more enjoyable film. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, Ricky, what's your worst?
I hated this movie. Clicked hated it on the
awesome.
Netflix stars.
That's nice, though, to get a rise out of you like that, you know?
But it's tough. Here's what's kind of hard on rating, like, watching this movie and really trying to enjoy it, even for what it is. Movies like this that are kind of like, I mean, like, reminded me of, like, a trauma film, kind of. Or, like, these movies are supposed to be, like, it feels like they're going for a cult kind of status, you know, a B-movie kind of status. It's hard to, you know, I'm either with those movies or I'm completely, like, checked out. Like, oh, that scene sucks because that scene sucks. I don't care what inside, you know, behind the style, or, you know, behind, where, you know, whatever shield you're using. Oh, it's a B-movie. I can't get past it. And this was one of those where I couldn't get past it. But what I wanted to ask you guys was, we watched Her last week, and now we watched this movie this week. And Her took the whole movie, took everything very seriously. This is a world where this exists. When you guys are watching this, and this guy owns this sex object, where it's clearly a sex object, and that's my stomach.
Sorry, I dropped my microphone. That's perfect. Keep going.
Yeah.
Do you get the same kind of like negative feeling towards it? Like, oh fuck it, I'm checking out of this movie right now. Or are you like, oh, it's a B movie, it's a cult movie, it can get away with that? Because I was like, if I'm fuming right now, then Rhea and Cameron are wondering where they should throw their TV at.
You know, I think for me, because of the maybe just the distance from when this movie was made, I was more watching it as a. Like, I was watching it through some layers of... I was kind of watching it from a meta perspective. And here's why. Because compared to Her, I just can't stop thinking about how interesting it is that this movie took place at a time when, like, we really were predicting... You know, it's like, it's the first Terminator. It's like, we really are predicting, like, robots are going to happen. Computers are going to happen. And the way they're going to happen is we're going to put them in bodies. And then we're going to either, like, marry them or we're going to fight them. And it's just such a concrete conception of what robots are going to be like and computers are going to be like. And then it's so interesting to me to watch something like Her, which isn't actually the future. It's like now. I mean, it's supposed to be air quotes the future, but it's like...
Future.
It could be 2 months from now, really. Like, with the kind of technology that we already have, if they release those things, people would just be like, oh, I can't believe Apple's been sitting on this. Like, it wouldn't be that crazy. And so it just is, like, to see where we are and that it has nothing to do with, like, a physical, weighed down, connected body, that there are no robots that we're falling in love with. But we are in love with our phones. I mean, we
Absolutely.
Have, like,
totally.
Super emotional, like, where's my phone?
My phone's but, not like, on me right now, and I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
We're in love with our phones, and then also, like, we actually are in love with our phones because they provide us with a sense of, like, real emotional fulfillment, where we look at, you know, the ways that people are responding to things we've posted, and it makes us feel like we're a part of something, a part of the world, and connected.
But in this movie, in Cherry 2000, he is only connected to this female robot for sex. I mean, they just keep referring to it as a sex robot.
But he says that he's not. And that's, I guess, what I'm reading into it and what I was watching it from the perspective of. Because, yes, he's into the robot for sex, but he's also, like, he actually thinks he's having a real relationship.
Yeah, he's
the way that, like, we think we
it.
Might have. I've had people that might follow, like, might keep up with, like, say, my Twitter presence or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or that I've been Facebook friends with for a while. And I don't know who they are. Because, like, because of my job, I have a lot of Facebook friends. And so sometimes I will have had somebody come up to me and be like, hey, how are you? We're Facebook friends. Like, how's your this? And sometimes I don't remember that, like, people know what's going on with me. Probably more people than I know what's going on with them, just because of being, like, a moderately public figure. My point is, like, there's not a real relationship there.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a real relationship there, too. Like, in a way, we are aware of each other's lives. So we're living in, like, this weird in-between place where it's, like, to be Facebook friends with somebody means you're not Facebook. Not means you're not friends with them. But then you also sort of, like, are friends. So it's, like, a weird... I guess that's the questions that this movie brought up for me. Like, are
this
they
movie
actually...
more than her made you...
No, both of them.
Oh, okay.
But I just mean, like... What is our relationship to technology? Are we really connected to it, or are we not?
Huh.
I think ultimately, though, in this movie, and another thing that kind of bothered me, I think we were talking about this when we saw it, to add to what you're talking about, is that he just leaves her there. Like, the connection that he did have, he just goes, oh, well, whatever. Like, he doesn't even turn her off, which, even though she's like a robot or whatever, I still was like, oh, well, that's pretty shitty.
It's cruel, actually.
Turn her on and then just leave her in the desert or
for
whatever.
The world that they've created, the fact that he leaves her is very cruel.
He just gets treated like shit throughout the whole time. Melanie Griffith doesn't get treated that much better. I mean, her character just seems like a fucking idiot.
Yeah. I mean, I would say to what you were saying, Ricky, at least in this movie, I felt like there were women that were present in the movie by having, like, Melanie Griffith.
Like,
I
they
guess.
Were there, like on
like,
set?
They were physically there, which is interesting, and I know that that's not what Her was about, but I don't... It seemed satirical, in a way.
Yeah.
And I think that the distance from when this movie came out and watching it now, I was able to laugh at their satire, because their satire is like, oh, women are horrible. They have to... hire a lawyer before they'll even have sex with you or something, like in a bar or whatever.
So that's part of what I'm saying, too, is that looking at how interesting it is to watch what they think they're satirizing, which now is like, what are you talking about?
Well, that's ridiculous. And so then I guess I might be holding the movie Her to a higher standard because it's coming out right now.
I think you absolutely are.
When we have... I don't know, legislation against women's bodies and, you know, women don't get to make choices. And then just all the everything that's implied with that and connected to that, to then watch a movie that's like, it's universally about love, but it's really just about male love, like men trying to find love with a woman. That, in that respect, that movie's great, but that movie doesn't apply to me. So I don't really dig it.
Well, all right. I want to get back to worse for a second.
Yeah.
I think this was a great conversation, though. I'm glad we had it. And my worst, I think, is actually just, like, weird tone clarity, not super captivating, not the best movie in the world. Melanie Griffith, what the fuck are you doing? I think that overall, though, my biggest worst is just that this is a movie that is a great example of, like, an entire genre where a guy does nothing appealing and then the woman just falls for him for zero reasons. I love that about this movie. Like, there's never a moment in this movie where he does anything that is, like, charming or interesting.
Took his clothes off to eat dinner in that cave.
Very confusing, and then she just ends up loving him because he's just, like, a man. And that's very funny to me. Because, hey, Melanie Griffith's got some skills. She don't need no help.
She can stand in a car while it's being carried across a cliff.
Exactly, Ricky. Thank you, buddy. My point exactly. Now, Rhea, what is the best part of this movie?
Full disclosure, I have no notes in the booth tonight because, hey, that sometimes that just happens. So I can't remember his name, but her dad, like, I forget what it's something.
It's not really her dad.
Well, whatever.
It's that, like
Six finger Jay.
Six finger is Kelly or something.
But he really has more than six fingers. I find it very confusing. Anyway. Yeah. Or maybe I can't count. I don't know. First of all, just love that character actor. I don't know what else he's been in, but he was fantastic. And I really loved his accent because it was a really specific accent, an accent that half of my family, well, even more than half of my family has. So I felt downright at home listening to that guy. He said something very, like a particular line when you first see him in that cave that I was like, "Huh, what?" Like,
wait, are they in West Virginia?
Wait, is that my grandpa in this movie? And I also just generally liked the that this movie was a, oh, hey, that guy kind of a movie. So that was so enjoyable funny. From that at that level.
Yeah. Ricky, what about you?
Well,
if you had to pick one.
If I had a best part in this movie, hey, shout out to Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, yeah, Larry.
For those glasses.
Hilarious. Yes.
Oh, man. I am.
Yeah, that's it. You can call it that.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
That's it.
I'm going to tell you my best part, Melanie Griffith's costume design. I saw her in this movie and I was like, oh, this is where other things have come from. Like, she looks like every explorer-y woman that's, like, from everything after this looks
she
like her.
Also mostly looks like most of the gals that are waiting in line at the UCB to come to our show.
Yeah, she also looks like Lilu from Fifth Element. Like, just looking at her in this, I was thinking, like, well, that's where they got everything. So it was nice to see that. All right, so Rhea, on a scale 1 to 5, similar haircuts to Mila Jovovich in The Fifth Element.
Yes.
How many do you give this movie?
Now, I have to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is this scale on drugs? Or is this scale not on drugs?
You can give both.
I'm going to give this a 3.75 on drugs.
Okay.
Depending on the drug, of course.
Okay.
And I'm going to give this a...
Heroin. What if it's heroin?
Don't do that.
Get some help.
Yeah. Don't do that drug. I'm just talking pot, maybe some mushroom. You know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, stop it. Anyway, and then not on drugs, this movie is a 2.25.
Wow. Really dissected the crap out of that.
I'm getting really specific.
Okay. Now, Ricky, on a scale of 1 to 5, what happened in Hollywood to allow this movie to be a movie? What happened in Hollywood to allow this movie to be a movie do you give Cherry 2000?
I think this movie was made by the Hollywood that exists in Escape from L.A.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
I give this movie zero stars.
Zero stars.
Cherry 0,000. That's where you're at.
I love you so much for saying Cherry 0,000.
Cherry 0,000. Cherry 2000 and late.
You think they were like, RoboCop did really well. Let's just push it all through.
You think so?
1 to 5, Chris Hardwick was also in Terminator 3. I'm gonna give it a 1 in terms of actual value in your brain. I'm gonna give it a 3.5
Whoa.
In terms of let's put in a time capsule and bury it for a couple more years and then watch it again to think about the people we were in the late 80s. So let's leave you guys with this. Rhea, what are you thinking about this week?
I am actually thinking about International Waters coming back because we were, me and Ricky got to be on a team.
Amazing.
And Mr. Dave Holmes, who everyone knows and loves,
we love Dave Holmes,
is the new host of that show, and he did a spectacular job, and we had a great time, and I'm so excited that it is back on track in 2014.
Wonderful.
With the Max Fun family.
Perfect. Ricky, what are you thinking about this week?
I am thinking about the podcast, slash film podcast. I don't know if you guys have noticed this story that is happening with this film journalist, Armand White, and his at the New York Film Critics last week. He and people at his table were accused of heckling Steve McQueen when he received his award for 12 Years a Slave. Steve McQueen directed 12 Years a Slave. Heckling happened. People are saying it was Armand White. He is completely denying it. And he is known kind of as a contrarian, a contentious fellow. So there's a lot of hearsay going on. Slashfilm.com was able to get Armand White on their show the next day. And David Chen, the guy who did the interview, asked pretty much everything that I wanted him to ask Armand White. And Armand White proved himself to be, in my opinion, to be an irresponsible liar. It's a great interview to listen to hear just a grown adult not be able to take responsibility, handle responsibility, and really just have this mistaken idea of putting themselves in front of movies as a journalist, just taking the light away from what we should be talking about, as opposed to why would you even associate yourself with why would you even consider that is okay to do, which he says in the interview, it's okay to heckle.
Holy crap. Wow.
So thank you, David Chen,
for that. It's okay to heckle at an award ceremony?
At an award ceremony.
I think
He says he is tired of artists who come to award ceremonies and insult journalists or critics. He says it's rude for them to come to events and do that. I am.
Wow.
It's an amazing interview.
He's since been like barred from that.
Today he was kicked out. Yeah, he was kicked out of the.
Wow. Because they don't want. Because it's like a critics' award, right? Yeah. So then he's like this dissenting voice. I don't.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
That guy's fascinating.
It's a crazy story. And it was great to hear.
Who is shitting on critics at awards ceremonies? Is that actually a thing that happens?
He is like hypersensitive to
I mean, I'm not saying
everything.
People don't. Hey,
right, for sure.
If you're a critic, I am sure you get a barrage of nonsense.
Especially
absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely. Yeah, and
wow. He is a contrarian.
I love Man of Steel. He said Man of Steel was better than Gravity, I believe.
Yep,
come on, I'm not crazy, guys.
He also said that 42 was a better film than 12 Years a Slave. Like comparing the two for the same reason.
On race relations.
Because
race
of black people?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
He is a black man also, if you're unaware. But anyway.
But just in regards to this story, to this incident, it's a pretty fascinating, I was fascinated by it. If you're into, that,
I'll check that out. That's, great recommendation. Woof. Spicy in the booth.
Well, Toy Story 3 episode of Slash Film is great.
I have been very, very sick, as I've said earlier, and so therefore I haven't left the house literally in like 4 days before I did the show today. And that means I've been watching a crap ton of television and other stuff. Now, sometimes I just get into like a zone where the only thing that I want to watch are like weird lesbian subplots of television shows. In fact, sometimes I go and I find like only the lesbian subplots edited out of shows.
Oh, wow.
And then I watch that. You can find that if you know how to look. It's not like in a sexy way. I mean, sometimes it's in a sexy way, but it's more like I realized that, you know, when you're any person that is a minority, when you see stories that, like, could represent you, even if that's not your life, there's still, like, a part of that story that's true for you. That's what I was thinking about a lot while I was watching these movies is, like, I'm not, like, I was watching If These Walls Could Talk 2, which is a great HBO miniseries. And there's, like, women that are lesbians in 1972. Now, that's not me. But it also is me, because I think when you're a minority, you, like, you inherit the history of the people that you are a part of, right? Like, if you didn't have somebody yell that thing at you at that time while you were wearing that outfit, you know that somebody else received that and that they received that because they're the same as you. So there's always, like, that fear and that feeling that could happen to you. And then there's also, like, the pride that you've gotten over that or that you've gotten through that, like, the group of people that you're with. So I say all this because, find the people that you think reflect you in television and film and, like, give a moment of love for that, because I think that's really important. And it's not always going to be Jennifer Lawrence, although we wish it were. But right now, I mean, honestly, I've been watching, there's a great lesbian storyline in a Canadian television show called Bomb Girls. I have long time been a fan of the UK teenage soap opera Skins. And I also really watched a great movie that I've seen before that's called Water Lilies. I believe it's French. And that's also on Netflix. You can find that on Netflix. Skins is also on Netflix. But check these shows out if you're a lady who dates ladies. Or if you just want to see 15-year-old girls actually kiss other 15-year-old girls because child labor laws are different, you can watch the UK version of Skins. Don't watch the American version. It was on MTV and it's terrible. But anyway, just find the people that look like you or that sound like you occasionally. Watch the other people too. Watch the other people too. But sometimes it's nice to just be with your people. All right. Well, next week for the show, we'll be watching Side Effects, which is available on Netflix Watch Instant. You can check that out there when you're done with Bomb Girls, Skins, and Water Lilies. Also available on Netflix Watch Instant. Until then, I'm Cameron Esposito.
I'm Rhea Butcher.
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And you've been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded at Maximum Fun headquarters by Lindsay Pavlis. Thank you, Lindsay. And Maximum Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.